Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. But if you have found Romans chapter 8, I want to read these verses of Scripture for you. If you would stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. And I don't want to hear one lady walk up to me after we're over with and saying, "I should have shared." I don't want to hear that. Last time we did this, I had three ladies, after I'd already said that, said, "Oh, Brother Cal, I should have shared." I don't want to hear that today. You had an opportunity, all right? Thank God for the testimonies of God's ladies. Amen? Amen. Wasn't that fabulous? Whoo! Let me give you something that's even more fabulous. The Word of God. There is therefore now, I'm in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Is there a shouting Baptist in here today? Hallelujah. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me read on down. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Say amen. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Say amen. Amen. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone, now this is plain as the nose on my face. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You've either got the Spirit of God or you don't. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Father, we have already read a mouthful. God, there's so much truth in this passage of Scripture. And Lord, in these next few minutes, I pray that You would help the preacher this morning to rightly divide the word of truth. This isn't about me. Get me out of the way that we might hear from heaven today. Lord, just hide me behind the cross. We need to hear the words of freedom. God, we need to be set free today. I think about Martin Luther King Jr. and that great sermon, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty we are free at last." Speak, Lord, Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. After 32 years of failed expeditions, after 11 fatalities, after 32 years of countless experiences of freezing and frostbite and frustration, Edmund Hillary found himself standing atop the highest mountain peak on the planet, Mount Everest. After 32 years of trying to climb that mountain and get to the top of Mount Everest, on May the 29th, 1953, after climbing 29,022 feet. Y'all, that's 5.5 miles this way. He planted his feet where no other human being had ever stood before. Can you imagine the joy and the excitement and the exhilaration and the adrenaline that must have been flowing through his body as he's standing atop Mount Everest? Think about that. Well, I've come here today to tell you the Apostle Paul was having some of those kind of feelings. Many have called this passage of Scripture the Mount Everest of the Bible. Paul's been climbing ever since Romans chapter 1. And he's been describing the plight of humanity and what sin has done to us and how it has defeated us and how sin has destroyed us and how sin has enslaved us and how sin has marked us and maimed us and crippled us and how sin has made us miserable, wretched souls. And yet when Paul comes to declare the freedom that is only found in Christ, I believe he's about to just jump out of his skin. He's so excited. Now, the main emphasis in the book of Romans is the Holy Spirit. Now, 19 times in this passage, the Holy Spirit is mentioned, just in this passage. And we ran across this verse this weekend. I think 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Liberty. Amen? And so what that means is, I'm just going to give it to you up front today. Is that okay? So you can really chew on it and meditate on it as we're moving through this chapter, this wonderful chapter of Scripture. The law of sin and death has been canceled by the law of life in the Spirit. Some of y'all didn't get that. The law that says your sin takes you to hell has been canceled because of what Jesus did. And so I want to talk to you about the law of life in the Spirit, which brings freedom today. Is that okay? Now, I've got so much up in here and so much down in here. There's no way I can ever be able to get it out in a 21-minute sermon. But God's going to give you He's going to give you some truth today, and you're going to be able to hang your hat on it the rest of your life if you'll receive it by faith. Amen? And so there's four quick spiritual principles I want to cover in verses 1 through 4. And the first of those is you can be free today. You can get set free. You can be free at last because you have a sure pardon. You have a sure pardon. Now, Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, and Romans chapter 8 ends with no separation. That sounds like a good chapter to me. No condemnation on the front end and no separation on the back end. Somebody shout amen. Now, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What a great statement that is. We have received a complete pardon from our sins without any conditions. You know, the only condition that was met in order for you to be saved is you just reached out and received it by grace through faith. There isn't anything in us that deserves or merits salvation. You can't be good enough. I get so tired of hearing people try to say, well, you know, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to do all these good things and blah, 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 as if we can work our way to heaven. No, friend, you got saved, if you're saved, for one reason and one reason only. Out of God's grace, He gave you what you didn't deserve. And anybody say amen today? Amen. Hallelujah. We are saved by God's grace through faith in what Jesus has done for us. And the wonderful assurance of this complete pardon that we receive is for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't apply to you if you're not in Christ. You haven't received a complete pardon from your sin if you're not in Christ. For those who are in Christ. So let me ask you, are you in Christ? I mean, are you in Christ today? Are you? I'm not asking, are you in church? This church isn't going to get you what you need, salvation-wise. Are you in the baptistry? No. Are you in the Bible? Are you in Christ? That's the key. And if you are in Christ, listen to me, you have received a sure pardon. You see, in Adam, we were all condemned, but in Christ, we've all been made alive. Y'all, this is so good. I just loved it because, you know, one day I stood condemned in my sin. Whew. And now I've received a complete pardon. Now, notice how this verse 1 reads. It says, there is therefore now no sin. No, that's not what it says. There is therefore now no more failures. Therefore now no mistakes. Is that what it says? No, it just says there's therefore now no condemnation. You see, we suffer consequences for our sin now that we're in Christ, but we don't suffer condemnation. God will never haul you back into His courtroom and pronounce you guilty because Jesus took your guilt and He took your condemnation. Hallelujah. You can't get over Jesus if you really do meet Him, because He's paid it all. Now, this pardon, let me just tell you, it's a present pardon. Say that with me. It's a present pardon. There is therefore now, right now. Look at your neighbor and say, right now. It is a present pardon. And then it is a permanent pardon. No condemnation. Done. History. Paul didn't say that we've been put on. No, I love, you know, some of my other brethren. But I want to tell you, you can't find anybody in the Bible that was saved and then lost and then saved and then lost and then saved and lost again. You're either pardoned or you're not. It's a permanent pardon. There's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't put us on probation. God doesn't put us on parole. Aren't you thankful for that? I'd be back in jail this morning if that was the case. I would be, and so would you. Come on now. What sin is it that would cause you to lose your salvation? Huh? Help us, Jesus, with this truth. So, in other words, some folks look at salvation, at God's plan of salvation, well, God says, I'll save you today, but the first wicked, evil thought you have, it's back to hell you go. That's not what my Bible says. I'll save you today, but the first time you pull out that cigarette and start smoking, it's back to hell you go. Oh, no. Now, you may smell like you've been there, but no. There is therefore now no. Oh, come on, everybody, smile. I'm just kidding with y'all. Goodness gracious. Help us, Lord. No, when God saves you, He sets you free from the penalty and the power of sin. You have a present pardon and you have a permanent pardon. Hallelujah. If you're in Christ, that's the deal. So we have a sure pardon. And here's the second great truth. It's in verse 2. We have a secure position. Whoo, I like this too. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're talking here now about two spiritual laws, the law of sin and death and the law of life in the Spirit. Two spiritual laws, and they're both huge. Now, the law of sin and death brings bondage and death. How many of you know that? Romans 6, Isaac and I are learning the Roman road on the way to school in the mornings, and we've learned it. Romans 3, 23, Romans 6, 23, Romans 5, 8, Romans 10, 9, Romans 10, 13. And he's putting those to memory so he can use them. And Romans 6, 23 says, no. Oh, we need to go to school together, I guess, in the mornings. For the wages of sin is? Yes. The wages. I've come here today to tell you, cholesterol doesn't kill you. Sin does. Sin is what kills. Now, if your cholesterol was zero, you're still going to die. Why? Because sin is what kills. Sin is what leads to... Now, don't go out here and start sucking lard through a straw, okay? But sin is what kills. Sin leads to what? Death, yes. And so we have a higher law in place now. It's higher than the law of sin and death. There's the law of life in the Spirit. Life in Christ Jesus. And in other words, the law of sin and death... Let me use some... Have we got any lawyers in here tonight, today? No. There's one right there. Bless God. The law of sin and death has no... If you're in Christ, has no jurisdiction over you. Oh, that's a good word there. It has no jurisdiction over you any longer. Because Jesus has already suffered the condemnation for you. Are you following that? Jesus has already paid the price for you. He's already taken the penalty and God's wrath for your sin. Jesus paid, tell somebody, Jesus made the payment. Jesus paid it all. And so you're Romans 7 and verse 4 over here, just the same page in my Bible, says that we are now free from the law. You're dead to the law. And Romans 8, 2, did y'all catch that in verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Woo! Free! Life in the Spirit. Nothing quite like it. And so, one law brings death. The other law brings deliverance. One law brings condemnation. The other law brings freedom. One law brings burden. The other law brings blessing. We now have life in the Spirit. It's a higher law, so to speak. And so the most powerful personality in this world now takes up residence and lives in us. Hallelujah. We've got a secure position. You are in Christ. What a high place to be. We're seated in the heavenlies today. And the law of sin and death has no jurisdiction over you any longer. Now what about when I'm getting to all this other, okay? And so we've got a sure pardon. We've got a secure position. And bless God, we've got a steady path. Look at the latter part of verse 1. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now jump down to verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, someone has well said, the Christian life is not so much a work as it is a walk. It's a walk. Walking in the Spirit. Can I just say this to you? The Christian life. How do I say this? Is not lived by you. The Christian life is lived in you and through you. It's lived in you and through you. Jesus is not real interested in what you can do for Him. Oh, this is really just... this teaching, I just don't get this. Let me tell you what God is interested in. He is interested in what He can do in you and through you. That's what He's interested in. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so those who are in Christ are to walk in the Spirit. Your walk is your mark of worship. How y'all walking at the ball games? Don't answer that. I have seen that. How's your walk at the grocery store? I saw a believer the other day, and I won't tell you who they were, but they had a stack full of coupons. Y'all know what coupons are? And the poor cashier was having to go through all these coupons, and half of them had been expired. And this so-called believer threw a fit. Threw a fit. And I'm like, we don't have the right to be unkind. We got to walk in the Spirit. So what's your walk look like this morning? Now, Psalm 128 says, blessed is the man who walks in his ways. When we, remember the old hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Okay, this won't help y'all at all, but it'll help me. Would everybody just smile? Oh, that's so encouraging. One day you'll get it when you get up here. So we have a steady path. Now here's what I really want to get to. We have a supernatural power living in us. Woo! You've got to, you know, God's not only set us free from the penalty of sin, but He has given us the power by the life and the Spirit to live above sin. You don't have to sin. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have to. You don't. Because you've got the power to live above it. The believer can live a righteous life because of the indwelling power of the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. My brother, I thought you were perfect. Didn't y'all think Laura's husband was perfect? She blew that dog out of the water. Yes. Here's another perfect one right there, Ted. Listen, y'all, I'm not talking about perfection here, okay? Because we all know from time to time we get in the flesh, and that's when we get in trouble. But you can live a righteous life by the indwelling power of the Spirit. The life that Jesus lived can be reproduced in you by His Spirit. Oh, let me say that again. The life that Jesus lived can be reproduced in you by His Spirit. You want to know the most miserable people I've ever met on the planet? It's believers, Christians, who are trying to live the Christian life in their own power and in their own strength. Guess what? You can't do it. You cannot do it. He never said you could, but He can. Woo! And so, life in the Spirit is what you want. That's what we need. That's what we strive for. That's how we walk. I don't want to get to meddling, but walking in the flesh is simply means this: not being under the control. We're talking about walking in the Spirit, okay, girls? Help me, Jesus. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're living above the things that the world and the flesh and the devil will pour on you. But living in the flesh is simply the result of not being under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's all that is. To walk in the flesh means you've said no to the prompting and the urging and the challenging and the convicting and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's all that means. You just hadn't said yes to Him. And then you're going to be enslaved and you're going to wind up defeated. And I see a lot of Christians that are living that way. Because why? They're not living according to life in the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not being led by the Spirit of Almighty God. They're trying to keep the law. Folks, the law can't save us. The law sure can't sanctify us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power to live and to walk and to serve and to love. Don't try to live that in your strength and in your power. You can't do it. God never said you could. Now, I've got about 4 minutes. Look at Galatians 5. We've got to go to Galatians 5. I tell you what, our own Billy Walker did such a fabulous job with this chapter. Billy, I didn't hear one amen. Have y'all forgotten that too? I mean, he did a great job with this. I just want to refresh our memory. Look at verse 16. I say then, Galatians 5, 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Duh! Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many times have you found yourself asking this question? Why in the world did I do this? What in the world am I doing here? Right? Well, it's because we weren't obedient to the Spirit. It's really pretty simple. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, now here they are evident, which are adultery, fornication, that's sex outside of marriage, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Someone's life whose pattern of their life is to commit these sins, that's what they practice on a regular basis, they're giving evidence that they've never been changed by the power of Almighty God. I'm not talking about one time a slip up or a mistake or you fell off into sin once or twice. I'm talking about if these sins are the practice of your life, if they are the pattern of your life, you're giving evidence that you've never been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. You're giving evidence that you've never been saved. Don't you think, if you're a believer, don't you ever think that you can get by with sin? Let me get over here. I'm not picking on y'all, okay? But you cannot get by with sin if you're a believer. Jesus died for your sin. Suffered for our sins, was punished for our sins, and we think we can get by with sin? No, 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 no! That's the lifestyle of someone who's lost. And my friend, if these sins are the practice of your life, if they're the pattern of your life, you know what I'd do? I'd get saved today. I wouldn't let all them demons in hell keep me from Jesus today. Now I want to tell you, the Spirit of God's working on some of us right now. But I want to tell you that believers can commit these sins too if they're walking in the flesh. They're living according to their own desires and their own. You can do these kind of things. But it's not the practice of your life. And when you do one of... That's horrible grammar. If you do one of these things and you're in Christ, do you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to take you to the whipping shed. He's going to give you a whipping like you'll never... That's what he does. He's not going to let you get by with that. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. We're almost done. Verse 22. But! Don't you like but? Come on now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now go back to Romans 8. The Spirit-filled believer yields to the control of the Holy Spirit. A Spirit-led believer experiences he or she is walking in the Spirit, being obedient to the Spirit's leadership. How many of you this week have been studying the Word, or you were praying, or maybe you weren't even doing that? All of a sudden, you got this thought in your spirit. You know who that is? That's the Spirit of God. Every Sunday, I'll have people say to me, "You were preaching to me today." And I just want to grab them and shake them till their teeth comes out of their mouth. No, that wasn't me. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Spirit of God speaking to you. He's still in the business of speaking to folks and wooing people and convicting people and challenging people and leading people. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 11 and I'm done. Romans 8, 11. "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Walking in the Spirit is all about being obedient to His call and command in your life. Just listening to Him. Just following His prompting and His urging and His wooing. And you know when I have found that still small voice most often? Right here. When I'm reading His Word and when I'm praying. Oh, help me to land this plane. Some of you are here today and you need to be set free. Maybe from some of these sins of the flesh. You need to, like Laura was talking about. And you need to be set free from the sin of gossip or this Eeyore spirit. You understand what I'm saying by that? Listen, folks, you're wonderfully and fearfully made. You are not some piece of trash. You are not some piece of garbage. Hello? You need to be set free from that kind of spirit. Some of you need to be set free from an addiction to something. I want to tell you, pornography is rampant in the church today. It is rampant in the church today. And many of you here are struggling with it. Can I just say something to us? It's time to take the mask off. It's time to get real with one another. The only one who can set you free today is the Spirit of Almighty God. And you need to come to Him just as you are. Let's all bow our heads and let's pray. Maybe you're a woman here at the conference and you made a decision this weekend. And you committed your heart and life to the Lord afresh and anew. You needed revival in your life and you asked God to set you free. As a sign of that decision, I want to just, we didn't do that this weekend that I know of. Maybe you did when I wasn't in here, but as a sign of sealing that decision of obedience, I want to ask you to just get up out of your seat and come and just thank God for what He did this weekend. And you're going to be obedient by His Spirit, by His power. And just get up out of your seat and come. And for the rest of you that are here today, and you weren't at the conference, but God is offering freedom to you today, and you know there's something that you need to be set free from, I just want you to get up out of your seat, get up out of your comfort zone, forget about what somebody else is thinking or saying, and be obedient to what God's Spirit's leading you to do. I want to pray for you. Father, right now, Holy Spirit, set us free. Help us to begin living a life that's pleasing to You. Help us to let go of all of these sins of the flesh. That's what Satan wants for us. Oh God, heal us this morning free us and give us your best. As we come, flood this altar with decisions for Christ Jesus. Oh, give us your spirit. Take control of our lives. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.